for faith to work. Present yourselves to the Lord honestly, just as you are. Pastor explains the importance of prayer and forgiveness in your walk with the Lord.
Let's open our Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 32. And verse 28. Genesis chapter 32.
And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed."
And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." Genesis 32, verse 28. One more scripture. The book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2.
"Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God."
Amen. So the second verse, looking unto Jesus, Hebrews 12 verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 12 and verse 1 says, let us run the race with patience, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Amen. We are all running a race. There is a tremendous competition. The race, even the Christian race, has got a huge level of competition. But the Bible says, don't look at the competition. You set your eyes upon Christ. You be the best that you can be for the glory of God. You don't look at the people around you. You look to Jesus. And you run the race. Looking unto Jesus Christ, the pioneer and the perfecter of your faith. Amen. In the book of Genesis, the 32nd chapter, verse 28. Speaking about Jacob. While he was in a place by the ford of Jabbok, or the brook of Jabbok, or the ford Jabbok by the brook, he was wrestling with divinity. We know the story. And then the scripture that we read, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power over with God and with men, and have prevailed." Glory to God. You can't run away. You have to run for the Lord. Run the race that is set before you. But you can't run away. Jacob had to face his life. Jacob had to face his life. Jacob had to have this encounter with God. In life, you have all kinds of drama. In life, you have all kinds of drama. You have trauma. And you have daddy and mama. But you gotta keep your eyes upon the Lord. And face yourself. Face God and face people. You have power with God and with men. You have the horizontal and the vertical. The vertical with God and the horizontal with people. You have to face God and men and overcome to be an Israelite. to be Israel. Amen. You gotta face it. And if you gotta face it, you gotta face it by faith. And for you to face it, you have to have, I mean, I want to keep it so simple that you can understand, a child can understand. You got to ask yourself these three little questions. The first question is, where am I? Not geographically. You might be listening in from Spain or from Russia or from Middle East or from North America, wherever. But not geographically, but where am I? When Adam and Eve sinned, God's presence came into the garden. And God asked, where are you, Adam? Where are you? God knew, but he asked, where are you? In other words, what's happening? What's going on inside of you? What's happening with your life, Adam? Do you know it? And Adam was honest. Adam didn't pretend. He didn't spiritualize anything. He said, I was afraid and I hid. The moment you become transparent, the moment you become open with God, He can help you. You don't have to sugarcoat anything to God. You don't have to pretend anything before God. If you're troubled, you can say, I am troubled, Lord. I need help. I'm worn out. You don't have to fake it to make it. You have to keep it real. God can only help the real you, not the pretend you. Not the one that you show outside. But where are you inside with God? You have to face it. Adam said, I was ashamed because I was naked. God didn't have a problem with that. God clothed him. God covered him. God can only cover you when you're honest. When you fake it, when you pretend. Have you seen people who come to church and they say, praise the Lord, brother? They haven't said the praise the Lord through the week to anyone. But the moment they come into church, it's praise the Lord. I can understand that praise the Lord if you were having that praise the Lord all through the week. But you're faking it. James chapter 5. The fifth chapter of James, verse 13.
Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms.
Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Another version says, is any among you in trouble? Is any among you in trouble? There's no problem. Let him pray. Let him come before me. I mean, maybe you are causing the trouble. But be honest. Have you seen people who cause the trouble and then act as if nothing? They're the super saints. Maybe you are in trouble. Don't deny it. Are you with me? You are in trouble. You have a problem. Faith is real. Don't deny that you are in trouble. Let's pray. That's what the Bible says. Let's pray. If you are in a struggle, admit it. Is there anyone merry? Then let him sing. If you aren't singing, you're obviously you're in trouble. The option is two. Either pray or sing. In trouble, pray. Very happy, no trouble, sing. You know, we heard this term, Sunday best, so we all try to have our Sunday best. I mean, you want to present yourself as the best on a Sunday, that is good. Please dress well on a Sunday. When you come to church, anytime, give your best unto God. But don't pretend something that you are not. Don't act like a believer when there is no faith. Be honest, say, Lord, I'm struggling. I need help. I'm wounded inside. I'm broken inside. And you can pray. How do I know where I am? That's the first question. Where are you? How do I know where I am? One of the simple ways is, how close are you to your friends? If you are not honest, you are toast. Extra crispy toast. Even, you know, people who, sometimes you don't know who to believe. There are people around you that they act like they're close friends, and then they're not honest. They're extra crispy toast. Where you are is determined by how honest you are with the people who are closest to you. I'm not speaking about throwing up everything that's happening in your life on Facebook. Look at somebody and say, don't throw up on the Facebook everything about your life. I'm not speaking about you ranting on the Instagram or just ventilating it all out on social media. You see a lot of that happening now. That doesn't help you. That doesn't deliver you. That doesn't save you. That doesn't bless you. That doesn't heal you. But you can take it all before Jesus. Jacob, get real with me. Face me. How many walls are there in your relationships? You know, relationships close to you. As a pastor, sometimes the best thing that you can do for somebody is when they tell you, I need help. I'm struggling. Can help them. They don't realize they are already halfway through to victory the moment they say it. The devil has lost the grip. But they are very far away from victory when they can't say it. And they just act as if everything is okay. And suddenly after 6 months you don't see them. Then you see them depressed. Then they are suicidal. Why? Because they've not been honest with themselves, with God. Anytime you can be honest to yourself, I need help, I'm struggling, I'm feeling tempted, I am feeling lost, I am feeling miserable. The moment you can do that with God, do that with the ones closest to you, you are already in your breakthrough. But the longer you feel isolated, alone, you are in a trap. Elijah said, I'm the only one who is standing up for you, God. Come on, Elijah. I have 7,000 others. You're not all alone. In your relationship with God, how much delight is there? in your walk with God? How much of a desire and a delight is there? How much are you really in your heart desiring God? I'm not speaking about, I got a problem, I got exam tomorrow, I got to pray. Oh gosh, I've got this interview coming up, I need to, oh please pray. And then just mouthing out, okay, which psalm do I read? Pastor, which psalm do I read? Got a job interview, which psalm do I read? I'm in trouble, I need financial help. Which scripture do I confess? I'm not speaking about that. I mean, do you desire Jesus? Do you delight in Him? Do you want to walk with Him? You're not walking with Him because you need to minister tomorrow. You're not desiring Him because somebody will ask you, did you pray? How much pleasure is there in my relationship with Jesus? Is He really the lover of my soul? Do I really love Him? Do I delight in Him? Let's see. You have to. Faith is real. Faith is not a cooked up thing. It's real. It's a heart to heart relationship and trust with God. It is not mouthing a few scriptures, confessing for the few scriptures. All that might play a little part here and there, but the foundation is your heart to heart relationship with Jesus. Where you delight in the Lord. Where you want to spend that time with God. Not out of routine, not out of obligation, not out of stress, but how, you know, how tempted are you when you go through temptations? I mean, we know the scripture in Hebrews 4:14 to 16. Jesus was tempted in all points, just like we were, but without sin. Jesus was tempted in all points, just like we were, but without sin. Jesus was tempted just like we were. Sometimes as a believer, you're constantly tempted. Well, that is a time you have to really sit and figure out what's the root cause of this. Because God doesn't tempt anybody, the Bible says. And the devil doesn't tempt anybody. But James 1 says, each one is tempted when he is enticed by his own desires, by his own lust. So obviously your desire is not Godward. If you're constantly, it means somewhere here, you have not been real with God. I can understand you being tempted once in a blue moon or something suddenly happened. I can understand that, but constantly, every day, it means your heart is not at the right place with God. It means that something is entering through my eye gate or through my ear gate or through my heart gate that is making me to desire, lust forth, and covet things that are not right. Or imagine things that are not right. So somewhere I have to make sure that I become real before God and say, Lord, this root, I want it to be cut off. Glory to God. Is this helping somebody tonight? The second question that you ask, have I prayed about it? Not am I complaining about it. Have I prayed about it? Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7.
Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Be anxious for nothing. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God. You know, Paul is writing this. Sometimes we'll read this and we say, it's easy for Paul to say it. But Paul is writing it not from his penthouse. He's writing this from prison. He's saying, do not be worried for nothing or be anxious for nothing. Anxiety, worry is prayer in reverse. It's worship in reverse. It's faith in the reverse. If you got a worry problem, you got a prayer problem. Anxiety in your life is a reminder that you got to pray. The moment you're anxious and you're worried, and then you're looking for who to blame, you lost it. We all get worried. We all get anxious. Even faith preachers do. But what do? I need to take that before the Lord, lay it at the feet of Jesus. Be anxious for nothing but by prayer. But in everything, see, and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. The moment you get worried, worked up, anxious, the devil is a master of one thing. I mean, he's master of many things, but his master stroke is condemnation. He would put into your mind, if you were a real Christian, if you were a real man of God, woman of God, if you are more spiritual, that's all condemning voices. But you gotta pray. Are you with me? The answer to prayer is peace, because the Bible says here, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 7th verse. So you got a marriage problem, you got a financial problem, you got a problem with your children, you got a business problem, and you're worried, worked up, stressed. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Take it to the Lord in prayer. My wife asked me this afternoon, you know, while we were having lunch, she asked me, when do you know you have prayed enough? I said, I know I've prayed enough when I have the peace that comes into my heart after I've prayed. It's on a personal level. If it's on a ministry level of prayer, it's a different category altogether. I need to feel life. A word has to impart life to me. I have to be quickened by a word. Then I know, okay, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go and fire from the pulpit. So I have to pray. But on a personal level, when I spend time with the Lord, it's not like, you know, okay, I need to read 5 chapters of the Bible. I need to pray in tongues for this long. Then I need to do this. It's not mental gymnastics. It is heart-to-heart conversation with my Savior. I'm confused. I need clarity, Lord. And then I lay it all at the feet of Jesus. And when I am at the feet of the Lord, the peace of God that passes all understanding is the sign that your prayers have reached up there. You feel a peace about it. Whatever the problem is, it doesn't mean the problem is sorted out. It means you have a peace about it, that God has heard it And that gives you the confidence to face it. You face life. Just because you felt peace doesn't mean your marriage is perfect or your finances are, financial issues are sorted out. No, no. It means God has taken over it. He will work it out. I can face this. I can face this because God will help me. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Amen. He prayed and he prayed three times. Eighth was, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. The ninth was, and the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. For three times Paul said, Lord, please change my spouse. Please change my spouse. Lord, please change my spouse. Three times. The Lord said, no, son, all you need is grace. All you need is grace. You got to figure him out. You got to figure her out by yourself. All you need is my grace. See, when you complain about your spouse or about somebody and you're praying, God deals with you, not with them. Are you with me? God deals with you by giving you grace. Glory to God. Amen. So prayer is that which will activate grace into your life. I mean, you come to the point you realize, I have grace, I have grace. Your kids are tough, you prayed about them. They're not bullying each other, they're bullying you. The inflation is high, gone high. Life is looking really tough. Nothing is falling in place, but you have grace. You have grace, you have prayed about it. Nothing has happened, but you have grace. And if you avoid prayer, everything gets harder. Glory to God. Lift your head and say, oh, hallelujah. What a friend we have in Jesus. Ooh, hallelujah.
What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, our sins and griefs to bear.
To God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Prayer is the oil for your vehicle. prayer is that brings the anointing oil into your life. Otherwise, you overheat. Are you with me? You're in trouble. You are in stress. And then you don't pray. And then it is like, I mean, you might have a great car. I mean, it might be just like your family name, something great, you know. Porsche or Ferrari or Lamborghini, just like your family name. And great engine, great looks. But if there is no oil in the engine, the vehicle is going to overheat. The vehicle is going to get stuck, seize. Same way. You might have a great education, family, great capabilities, but if there is no relationship with Jesus where you feel the shepherd anointing you with oil, the sheep is anointed with oil. And it is said that not only on the head, but sometimes the shepherd will pour oil on the ears. Because otherwise, certain insects will come in, not only in the nose, but even in the ears. I always used to preach, they breed inside the nose, but even in the ears. And then these little insects go through the hair and begin to torment the hair with all kinds of negative thoughts. So if you even go on the Google and see, you will find sometimes sheep going and hitting against a wall or a rock and injuring themselves because their heads go crazy. I mean, you're already crazy. You don't want to be crazier. You need to come to the shepherd. Get the anointing oil over your head. Allow things to cool off. Get those voices out of your system and hear the loving voice of Jesus, which says, I love you with an everlasting love. You are my sheep. I'll take care of you. I will lead you. Glory to God. It is said that, you know, nearly, I forget the exact percentage, about 47%, 49% of the marriages in certain countries end up in divorce. In church, in those very nations, it's 10% less. So if you come to church, it's 10, chances are better than in the world. But in that survey, they found out that a family that prays together, there's only 1% of those families that has ever got divorced. So pray together. Glory to God. Matthew 5 verse 44. I hope the word of the Lord is touching somebody tonight. Matthew chapter 5 verse 44.
But I say unto you.
Yes.
Love your enemies.
But I say unto you. Love your enemies.
Bless them that curse you.
Bless them
that curse you.
That curse you.
Do good to them that hate you.
Do good to them that hate you. Wow.
And pray for them which despitefully use you.
Pray for them who despitefully use you and persecute you. We pray for people to stop persecuting us. But it doesn't say that. It says pray for those difficult people in your life. Glory to God. Glory to God. So the grace shows up in your life to handle difficult people. So you need to learn to face God and face people in life. You can't run away from your workplace because your boss is always getting angry with you. You pray. Just because the professor is picking on you on the class all the time, you can't say, I quit. I don't want to study. You pray. Get the grace. Pray for the ones who persecute you, despitefully use you, make you work extra time, overtime, and don't even pay you. Glory to God. I think the word of God is coming and hitting you right there. Pray. Glory to God. third question is, have I forgiven? Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 to 16. I told you it'll be very simple, but it'll hit you right where it needs to be hit you.
Follow peace with all men.
Follow peace with all men.
And holiness
without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking
diligently,
lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and therefore many be defiled. Look at this word, many be defiled. You got to run the race. You got to strive to run. Well, it's a race. Many competing with you. Maybe many trying to trip you down. But you got to run looking unto Jesus. To be the best that God has called you to be. You're not competing with anybody, but you're trying to be the best that God has called you to be. But when you run, it says there, pursue or run, follow, peace with all men. Let not the grace of God in you be failed by a root of bitterness rising up inside of you. So bitterness is a root issue in the soil of your heart. It's here inside. And I was looking through a tree called weeping willow. You know the weeping willow? Weeping willow tree. Beautiful to look at. Weeping willow tree. But in certain countries, they won't allow you to plant that tree near your house, because the roots are very invasive. It will destroy the foundation of that house. The plumbing line, everything will be destroyed by the roots. See, it's an inward thing. It's something, it's destructive below the surface. You know what I mean? Outside it is beautiful, but it's destructive below the surface. It looks wonderful from outside. That's what unforgiveness is all about. You know, sometimes you look at all the people who have hurt you and you feel you have a right to be upset with them. You feel God needs to show them justice. I mean, God needs to show you justice and send a lightning and hit them on the head. And you're looking at the tree and marveling it without realizing this root that is in your in your heart is destroying your very foundation. It's destroying you. And you're marveling at, yeah, look what that person said about me. Look what the person did to me. You take all the scriptures on God's vengeance and anger and fire and brimstone. You read through the 10 plagues of Egypt. You cut a tree, make a road out of it, and hold it like Moses and pray every day for the plagues to strike that person. It looks beautiful. It's like a willow tree, but you're destroying yourself. It affects the way you see. It affects the way you see. See, it's like glass, dark glass. Does it look good? It affects the way you see. You see everyone through a different lens from now on, because you've been hurt. You have this bitterness inside of you. Everyone that you look at, you're looking at them through these glasses of hurt. I mean, imagine Leah is the one I'm upset with, I'm angry with. She hurt me. And now she's given me these glasses because I have unforgiveness against her. But not only am I looking at Leah with this glass, I'm looking at Tina also with this glass. I'm looking through my hurt at everybody. See, it's my own little pet offense that I'm happy with it. Does it look good? Yeah? You need to wear it and sing the next song. It affects everyone the way I look. I can't see even God clearly. Jacob is upset with his brother. His brother is out there to kill him. But he has to face God. Deal with this. Have you seen preachers? Angry preachers. Someone in the church left. And now they're angry with everyone. It comes out. I mean, they're wearing that glass of that one person who left. And they're looking at everyone through the glass. And you know, Dr. Yonggicho, David Yonggicho, who at one time was the pastor of the largest church in the world. Now he's with the Lord. It is said that during the time when his church was growing, there were services that you had to come for according to the alphabet. For example, if your name is starting with A, then you come for this service. And that place is packed with people's names starting with A, B, C, D. So they had multiple services like that. That's the only way they could control the crowds. That's how the church began to grow at a particular point. And so Yonggicho was once asked, being the pastor of the largest church, a young preacher asked him, I mean, is it easy to love people with the love of Christ or something like that? And he said, I have to forgive every day. I have to forgive every day because I hate people. There is somebody getting on my nerves, and so I hate it. And so I have to forgive every day. I'm speaking about practical Christianity or faith walk. For faith to work, that's what I would title this message. For faith to work, get real. Don't fake it. Matthew 6, Jesus teaching the disciples on prayer. He said, pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. How does it go? Hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. So that is also a daily thing. Just like you ask bread, it's a daily thing. Don't beat yourself for having these feelings of thoughts about anger against somebody because they hurt you. No. Those feelings come, but you take it before the Lord and you forgive them. Because there is nothing that is there that is done in your past that is worth your future. There is nothing. So you gotta pray to your Heavenly Father through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on a daily basis to keep your heart pure, soft. It doesn't become hard, rigid, judgmental, cynical, sarcastic. It's soft, tender. Glory to God that God can work with. That you can relate with people genuinely, without pretense. Jacob, You have wrestled with God and with man. You have found favor with God and with man. You wrestled with God, but you found favor with God and with man. You're overcome. Just not wrestling, but overcome. You're overcome. Some people are always just wrestling. They were never overcome. 30 years in the Lord, never overcome. 1 John 1 verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. You overcome through the blood of Jesus Christ. You overcome. So faith operates through real people. Faith is real time. Not real time. Real time. Glory to God.